weekends here, and your Tech Concierge offers a more casual fare over the air. I'll review this past week's Tech Talk tips and open a buffet of Tech Gourmet Q&A on Saturday and Sunday. Put on your favorite headphones. Call in, comment, and don't be shy. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Stay tuned. The fun has only just begun, and you never know what you might learn. This is your Tech Talk Tip Recap for Saturday, 10-6-17, where I take you through a quick review of all we did this past week on the shoe. Starting last week at 9:30, we discussed exporting video without transcription text. Did you know you could do that? On Sunday, 10-1, our tidbit explained how to disable Facebook video autoplay. We discussed call-in deja vu, when call-ins reappear in your call-in library, and we answered Isidra's question about where the echo button could be found. On Motown Monday, 10-2, I explained the concept of the staging station. On Tech Tech Tuesday, I shared my Alexa Flash briefing entitled The Growing Echo Family, explaining all the new Amazon Echo devices coming this fourth quarter. You can listen to all of my previous week's Flash briefings on www.techtalktips.com. Wednesday, hump day, I shared some details about our Anchors Awave Anchor Facebook group. Are you a member? Thoughtful Thursday arrived, and I shared my observation regarding collaboration. Follow Friday offered up a way to utilize cellular service as a primary internet solution, and our tidbit described an end-of-station option to quickly access your episodes. Interspersed throughout the week were thought-provoking questions, comments, and ideas to spark our imaginations. Another information-filled week indeed, and this week promises more of the same. More Q&A Tech Talk Tip Buffet is coming your way today, so call in and ask away. Share some tidbits of your own and bring up any subjects that you wish to discuss. All are open on the table here. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Hey Avi, do you think the future of wireless internet connectivity is in 3G, 4G, and LTE connections being more advanced and widespread, or more so in Wi-Fi connectivity being everywhere?
Lasha, you ask a very interesting question because it's kind of a mixed question. Number one, to compare Wi-Fi with 4G LTE is like comparing internet providers with the way you connect to that internet provider. You see, Wi-Fi in and of itself is simply a way to connect, okay? And wireless fidelity is basically what it stands for. And it's the topology, the ability to connect to a service via a wireless connection, wherein 4G LTE is not only a wireless transport, it's also the internet connection itself. So you need to explore exactly how we would get Wi-Fi everywhere. An internet provider would need to be able to provide a solution everywhere, and then people would connect to that. And the reason I don't like that is I frown on public Wi-Fi. I am not a fan of public Wi-Fi. I deem it a security issue. I deem it a concern. And I normally would prefer a more private connectivity. Okay? If you have your own router that you take with you, create a VPN, do what you like, and connect to an internet service, even if you're, you know, communicating a different way, the bottom line here is I'm key on privacy. So I prefer to see not just 4G become much more prominent, but newer, faster ways to connect. So you'll see 4G, then 5G, 6G. Who knows what techniques they'll come out with that will allow internet to be much more pervasive. However, that's what I see for the future, the ability to pay for your internet service, make it secure, and make it faster and more pervasive no matter where you are. Hopefully that will answer your question, and I'd love to delve into the topic more, perhaps in a future episode.
Avi, a question for your fund of questions. This one isn't very urgent at all. In other words, I don't mind when you can give me an answer to this. At what point in my iPhone's battery, like I've got 10% left at present on my iPhone, should I be recharging the phone now? Should I be waiting till it goes to zero? Or should I have recharged it already? What would be the best for prolonging the life of my battery, which is already very well used and must be 2 years old by now?
Paul, I love this question. People don't truly understand the best way to charge their lithium-ion batteries, which are the types of batteries that are in our cell phones today, in current cell phones. Lithium-ion batteries charge via a trickle charge. There's a couple things that happen with this. Number one, they don't really have a memory, but what they do have is what's called a stress level. So if you charge your battery to 100%, and keep it charged, let's say, for example, you plug it in before you go to sleep, you charge it overnight. This is what happens. It gets to 100%, and then that trickle charge keeps charging it. So picture it like a muscle. I'm going to enclose an article which is very interesting and describes this in more detail. But your lithium ion battery doesn't like stress, okay? So there's two types of stress. Well, more than that, but the types of stress where you are charging the battery to 100% and keep charging it with this trickle. It's almost like working a muscle to exhaustion and keep working it out once it gets to that point. Very difficult and strenuous on the battery. That's one of the key components that wears it out. The lithium ion battery, believe it or not, loves multiple charges throughout the day as long as you don't charge it to capacity. So if you take it up, say, to 90% and then discharge, unplug it, use it, drop it down to 50%, plug it back in, get the charge back up. Frequent charges are the best way to go to preserve your lithium ion battery. And the other form of stress is taking it all the way down to 10%. Plugging it in. It has to fight to be able to charge all that capacity at one time. So that's stressful on a battery. So it's wrong to think that you need to drain the battery to preserve its life. Lithium ion batteries, unlike some of the older NiCad batteries that had a memory, you don't need to worry about the memory component. So charging it from a low amount to a high amount does not affect the battery in a positive way when it's a lithium ion battery. Charge it frequently. Don't charge it to capacity. Plug it in when you can. When it's not close to 100%, unplug it around 90%, and you're going to be golden. The best way to do it would be to get yourself an external battery. Plug it in when you need it throughout the day, because I can tell you, it's strenuous to be using apps like Anchor throughout the day. It just drains your battery, right? So the best way is to have a battery charger available if you can't plug it into a wall socket and your charger, obviously. So hopefully that answers your question. Try that, see how it works for you, and I look forward to answering your next question.
Avi, my hero, I have a question to which the answer might be so obvious, but I don't mind making a fool of myself. I have on my iPhone 6, I have over 3 gigabytes of stuff, data from Anchor. When I look at my storage, it says, you know, in the settings on the iPhone, it says I've got 3 of this in this app, Anchor. I've also got 3 on the live streaming app, Periscope, and 3 somewhere else. Could I safely delete the data off those 3 apps without losing the ability to recover whatever it is I've saved?
Another great question that many people have, Paul. Anchor, for sure, stores all of your content in the cloud, unless you're dropping stuff down to your camera roll in terms of videos that you're preserving or recording audio on your phone in another app and then lifting it up, which would not count toward your storage capacity of Anchor. Your Anchor storage, your 3 gigabytes that it's grown to on your phone, is purely cache. That stuff that you've listened to over time that's been downloaded to your phone to make it better so it doesn't stutter. And that's what you wait for things to load and whatnot in Anchor. And that's what's coming down to your phone, taking up space. After you've listened to it, it doesn't necessarily have to be on your phone anymore. And it's better if you take it off. How do you get it off? You have to uninstall the app. On an iPhone, you hold it and wait for the icon to shake. You can delete the app, obviously, through the deletion when you're looking at the app in the apps list. So once it's gone, you need to go back to the App Store, reinstall it. Make sure you log in with the same exact credentials that you had prior, because if you have multiple stations, you might get confused and wind up logging into one of your other stations. So whatever you want your default station to be, make sure you use that username and password to log in. And everything will come back. You will not lose one bit of anything that's in the app, because nothing that's important is stored on your phone. Don't worry about that. Periscope, same deal. Everything in Periscope is stored in the cloud, and whatever you're concerned about there should be held there. However, I don't use Periscope as much as I used to, and I don't recall Periscope taking up as much space. So it's logically using a caching algorithm similar to what Anchor's doing. So most phone apps do not store information locally. Now, with that said, your pictures that you store locally, your videos that you store locally, do represent capacity that is consumed on your phone. And for that matter, you need to come up with ways. I work with people that have very small memory capacities on their phone to begin with, and then they fill it up quickly with photos, videos, things like that, and they have to find a home in the cloud to store all that stuff so they can get around it. I have another solution. I'll talk about that in a future segment. Hopefully that answers your question, and if not, hit me back up and I'll clarify. This is a test. This is only a test, and it will be removed fairly quickly after the test is completed. So you can ignore this segment. Thank you.
Hi, Avi. So to give some context, I just did this crazy, whimsical experiment where I got inspired by a strange call-in left on somebody else's station and their reaction. It just made me laugh. So I thought I would try this silly experiment of seeing how many call-ins I could do in 10 minutes. And so I did 20, and I just came up with this random, you know, name for it, hashtag call-ins challenge. And so I thought a way that I could find it again would be to, you know, use the hashtag and search. But something that I found, or at least I think I found, and I'd really like your take on, is that I think that hashtags might make things less searchable on Anchor. Do you know about this?
Lulu, thanks for calling in, and thanks for doing your whimsical tests. They're always interesting. And does the hashtag discount the ability to search? It depends on what you're asking in terms of that. What do you actually mean? Will it prevent you from searching on the hashtag? In the previous segment, which I did, was a 10-second test. I wanted to see how effective searching on the hashtag was. Now, if you use a hashtag, this is the key. You must use the hashtag to search out the term. So, for example, I used three different words, hashtag, test, and anchor, all preceded by a hashtag. If you do a search on those words while the segment is current in my station, they should appear. As long as you put in the hashtag preceded immediately by or preceding the word that you're searching for. Don't put a space between the hashtag, obviously. Number two, if you use a hashtag, you will not be able to search on that word without the hashtag. That's the key. So, for example, if I search on the hashtag anchor, you will see the segment that I just created. If you search on the word anchor, however, anchor will bring up a number of other options, but never the hashtag anchor term. So if you're thinking in terms of, hey, will it reduce my searchability if I use a hashtag on a word that others might search without the hashtag? The answer is absolutely, because that word becomes a different word when you put a hashtag in front of it. Isn't that interesting? It does not break up the word, or anchor search doesn't. And you know, as well as most people, because you've been here for a long enough time and done enough testing, that search is pretty poor currently. It only searches few segments. It searches only current stuff. It's limited in terms of, you wouldn't be able to search, obviously, a call-in until it gets posted. So once it gets posted, you should be able to search on the term using the hashtag, but we'd have to experiment with the call-in functionality. Will that title pass and be searchable? It's up for debate, I think, right now. I'll have to test that one too. But keep testing and let me know what you find. Look forward to hearing from you, and it's always great to hear you. Sounds like your voice is getting better. I'm glad for that too. Hope you feel good.
Avi, I almost never listen to Anchor Hands Free. Part of the reason has to do with the fact that I am really engaging with the person, so I'm listening to what they're saying, and I'm kind of, I mean, you know, I don't care a damn about anybody else. I'm just focused on them, and I'm thinking that maybe, you know, as soon as in the middle of what they have to say, I'm going to chip in. And then at the end, I'm going to chip in again. Maybe I'm the only person who does that. But for me, Anchor is definitely engaging. That's why I hold my iPhone so firmly while I'm listening to Anchor, in places sometimes that I shouldn't.
Paul, you spark an interesting question, and I want to pose it to the audience today. Do you interactively use Anchor more frequently than you simply listen to it hands-free like a radio? Okay, what is your percentage of use? Obviously, Anchor is an interactive radio. One of the best reasons to use it, because we can interact with the broadcaster, we can ask questions, we can do commenting, and all those things require our physical touching of the phone right now. Down the road, perhaps Siri will integrate much more effectively with Anchor or Alexa or one of the other smart AI components of our lifestyle, and we'll be able to interact with the phone without touching it. I think that would be a fantastic thing, especially since the voice is so important to Anchor. However, my question to the audience today, to you, you're listening, do you use Anchor more holding the phone, keeping the screen alive, and interacting with it as you go? Or do you put the phone down, perhaps connect it to a Bluetooth speaker, listen to it while you work, listen to it while you're driving, where you can't hold the phone and keep it close to you like Sir Paul Omani does? What is your usage pattern? Love to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Call in, let me know, or just comment on here. Tell me what your percentage of usage is. Percentage of interaction, percentage of just listening. Love to hear it.
Hey Avi, it's your girl Miss Eileen, and today is hashtag Supportive Saturday. So who could I think of when I thought about support, except you, because you give all kinds of support in so many different ways. And so I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You embrace everyone in the community, and you have been mentoring people, answering questions, and just holding their hand with whatever tech issues they need support with. So thank you, and I will talk to you soon. Once again, happy supportive Saturday. Bye for now.
Thank you so much, Miss Eileen. You are such a gem. You know, I have to echo and boomerang this right back at you, because you deserve the accolades for Supportive Sunday. Supportive Sunday? Supportive every day. Supportive Saturday? You name it. You are the queen of support. So I do appreciate you coming over here and taking the time out of your busy day to lay it on me. I really, truly adore you, and I look forward to every opportunity that I can tell you so. Thanks so much. Hope you're having a great weekend here in the Philly area. Is it warm or what? What a great time of the year we're having here in Philly, and look forward to it. And hey, tomorrow, go Eagles, right?
Avi, KT back in the mic. Heard about the 4G. I heard there's possibly a 5G network coming in the future. I think that's awesome that we can get the 5G speed. Any thoughts?
KT, you know that 5G is on the horizon, and last I heard, you're going to see experiments done with 5G at the South Korea Winter Olympics. Yes, indeed. And you know what? The 5G, do you know what G stands for? It stands for generation. So this would be the fifth generation of wireless cellular technology. And what that means is the fifth generation is planned on 66 times the speed, capacity of 4G, 66 times faster. Can you imagine? I mean, things jump in speed, but 66 times faster? You know, with 4G capacity at, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 megabits per second downstream or even faster, you're looking at 66 times faster than that. We're looking at potential terabyte speeds here, my friend, in a wireless mode. That's the type of speed you need to do the things you're looking for. And that's the type of speed that only currently we have accessible via a fiber link. So with that in mind, this is the future. And fifth generation is just a stepping stone into the next generation and the next and the next. We don't stop. The human endeavor is to always increase speed, efficiency. The power requirement on 5G will actually be lower than 4G, so we're looking forward to it. We probably won't see it as consumers till around 2020, but in the experimental stage, yes, it's been the spec is out, and they're going to have to ramp up not only the platforms, you know, the infrastructure, but they'll also have to ramp up hardware and all that, and that won't take a whole lot, but your current phones won't be able to access it. So plan on around a 2020 transition to 5G in your next phone. Your next mobile device will likely be seeing the 2020 arena of 5G. Looking forward to it, brother. Thanks, man. And yeah, man, the weather is absolutely awesome over here. Enjoying every minute of it. 85 degrees? Wow. Unbelievable. In close to the middle of October. Wow. It's crazy.